Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. But Lord, I pray that the love of Christ would overwhelm us this morning. That, Lord, we don't look for an experience, but we would ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that it would touch our hearts, our minds, our lives. My prayer, our prayer, God, is this morning that we would not stay the way we are today, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would have heavenly thoughts, that our minds would go to the right places, that our hearts would be motivated to do and to be the strong Christians that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, because I know in this room there are those you've called to be evangelists, those that are not ashamed to ask every single person they run into, do you know Jesus? And though we may not all be called to that, God, I pray that our lives would ask that question, that our very lives, our very attitudes would draw people into your kingdom. And so we ask, as we study your word, Bibles in hand, speak to us and let us hear exactly what you want to show us and tell us in your word. Let not one in this room not hear the message that you have for them. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're picking up from a message we started last week as we started Hebrews chapter 13. And the writer of Hebrews is kind of wrapping things up. He started really at the end of chapter 12, and he's going to continue right to the very end of chapter 13. And what he's trying to do is communicate to the Hebrew believers of those days how to just pay attention to their Christian lives, how to engage, if you will, engage their faith, engage their belief in Jesus Christ, to physically live out loud a life that honors Christ. And I don't know how long you've been saved, I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, but sometimes as the years go by in our Christian lives, in our lives, we tend to forget some things. We tend to, oh yeah, I remember doing that years ago. Oh yeah, I used to go to Bible studies quite frequently years ago. And we tend to just kind of relax in our faith. And as we see in this last chapter, the writer is really concerned about those Christians, that they would just continue in those foundational truths. If you were here last week, we talked, the first verse is all we did. Let brotherly love continue. A great reminder for every Christian that we are to be known by our love. We are to be motivated by our love. We are to embrace the love of Christ and share the love of Christ. It's a great reminder. And I said last week, I'm surprised that the Bible has to tell us to love. Shouldn't we be lovers of God and lovers of God's people? And we talked last week how it's important that when we look at someone else, we need to realize that God loves that person, God died for that person, and that we must respect that person and love that person as well. And he goes on, and we're going to break these down one by one because I think they're very important. Now, I think it's important that we looked at love first, that again, our motivations are love. But he's going to continue. He's going to go on. See, Hebrews closes with some encouragements for the believers. Things to be aware of as Christians. Attitudes, if you will, that need to be in proper order. And let's all face it. Sometimes our attitudes stink. Sometimes our place, man, sometimes our place is not good. Yeah. Everybody's trying to clear my throat. I know how much that my wife loves that. Motivated by love, encouraged to do the things and live and have our attitudes in proper order. Read with me at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, Some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, we looked at the first verse last week. This week, I'd like to look at the next two verses as we continue to look at the consistent Christian character. Christians must have proper character, consistent Christian care for others, love. Let brotherly love continue. So that is something that we must do. But he goes on in verse 8, don't forget to entertain strangers. Don't forget to entertain strangers. See, I believe that this verse is very important for us today. Very important for the days that we live in, because people are fearful. Listen, people are fearful of strangers. Fearful of strangers, someone that looks a little different, someone that acts a little different. I mean, we're definitely in our country today, in our atmosphere, in our economy, everybody's looking around, making sure they pay attention to people. I mean, you can't go in an airport without hearing the message. If you see any strange things happening, please report that to the authorities. I mean, we can't leave our bag with our wife for fear that she's going to put something in it. No, we got to be careful everywhere we go. People are fearful. People are afraid to even look at someone they don't know. Truth is, we teach our children, don't we? Don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers. And sometimes we meet new people and we go to talk to their kids, and then the kids are like looking at their parents like, can I talk to them? And I think it's wise that we teach our kids, don't just talk to strangers, because there's people out there that can be difficult. But listen, if we never ever talk to a stranger, we'd never have a friend. We'd never have a spouse. We'd never have a job. That first interview, well, you're a stranger, I can't talk to you. No, the Bible says, don't forget to entertain strangers. Don't forget to talk to someone you don't know so that you can get to know them. Now, certainly have discernment. Certainly be careful. But don't live in fear. Live in such a way that your life can be used by God. When was the last time you walked up to someone you didn't know and started a conversation with them? Or are you one of those people that waits for someone to start a conversation with you? See, it happens to me all the time. I try to be nice to people, and they look at me. I've said it last week. They look at me like, why is he talking to me? He's weird. And I know for me, I love children, and I want to, you know, say hi to kids and have fun with kids, and they look at me, this big guy. They're fearful of me. I'm a big guy. I got to get down on my knees and get low so that they don't fill their eyes with tears. What's he going to do to me? Oh, talk to people. But listen, when's the last time you talked to someone, not because you wanted to find out what they could do for you, but what you could do for them? That should be the motivation. What can I do for someone I don't know? How can I help somebody? Because I believe if we're motivated by love of the brethren, and we don't forget to entertain strangers, that we can be nice to people. And that can be, we can become someone who's known by that. No, the Bible says, don't forget, remember, think about it. Pay attention, because I think sometimes we go through life with blinders on and we miss opportunities that God has for us. Why? We got to get somewhere and we got to pay attention to where we're going and we got to ignore everybody that's trying to. No. Take time. Look around. Look in people's eyes. God will show you. God will reveal to you opportunities for you to ask someone, Were you crying? I notice your eyes are a little puffy. I notice your eyes are red. What's going on in your life? Especially people that we know, but the Bible's saying entertain strangers. The words entertain strangers, if you circled those in your Bibles, I know you can't do it in your apps, but if you circled the words in your Bible, entertain strangers, it represents one word in the original language. That word means hospitality. hospitality, entertain strangers, means be hospitable. Be hospitable. Be willing to help someone. Be willing to give someone a hand. And listen, I agree with you. It's easier to be hospitable to those you love, isn't it? Well, it's easy to be loving to your family, loving to your friends. Okay, it's easier to be loving to your friends. I get it. It's easy to be loving to our friends, the ones we care about, the ones we love. But this verse suggests serving the unknown, the unfamiliar, and the uncertain, doesn't it? Be hospitable. Be someone that is hospitable. Do things. And I'm telling you, it can become a habit in your life that you'll learn to enjoy. Being nice to people, doing things for people, going the extra mile. This verse is a reference to the men in the Old Testament who had divine appointments with angels, right? Genesis chapter 18, Abraham, right? The angels came, told him he was going to finally have his promised son. He entertained them. He was hospitable. He gave them a meal. Lot entertained angels in Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 19 of Genesis. Gideon, one of my favorites in Judges chapter 6. Here's Gideon threshing wheat inside a cave, which if you never have threshed wheat before, you don't do it in a cave. It's easier on a mountaintop. And an angel shows up to him, has a conversation. And time again in the Bible, entertaining angels. When you practice hospitality, listen, you may be helping a messenger of God without even realizing it. You might even be doing that for someone you care about. You do something for someone, and God may ever use that person to minister in your life. I know. I drive the roads too. I see the people on the side of the road. Help. You know, just lost my job. God bless. See, when I see somebody tell me that I'm going to bless them if I help them, and they say, God bless, I'm going to have a conversation with them about the God that they're asking be blessed, that I want to be blessed by. It opens the door of opportunity. Oh, I might want to give you something. Oh, I might want to help you, but I want to know what's going on. Do you believe in this God that you're asking to bless me? Do you believe God will meet your needs? See, guys, there's a lot of people out there taking advantage, so we got to be careful. But at the same time, being Spirit-led, if God moved in your heart, if you were willing, if you had the right heart and willing heart to provide a need, would God use you? I bet he would. I bet he would. Or do you immediately see someone with a sign? Say, yeah, not doing that. Help people. Become someone who is hospitable. When you practice hospitality, you are going to possibly be helping a messenger of God. Now, the word angels in this verse is simply messenger. It's simply a messenger. And this could be certainly angelic beings, but it could also be another believer giving you a message that you need to hear. Ever think of that? If someone's nice to me and I'm able to minister to them, then quite possibly God just used me to minister to them in a powerful way. In fact, it has happened to me many years ago. I can remember after a church service, it was a Calvary Chapel, I was standing with another brother. It was the end of 2000, beginning of 2001, somewhere in there. I had felt the call upon my life to come to Tennessee, but I had let no one know, except for the pastor at the time. And this man, he looks at me and he says, you know, I was talking to the worship leader, and he's very discouraged. And he doesn't know what God's doing in his life, and he doesn't know the direction God has him. And this gentleman told me, he said, and I said to him, well, maybe someday you're going to go and start a church with Rob. And I'm telling you, my jaw dropped. And I was like, I wanted to say, who told you? But I actually looked at him and I said, why did you say that? And he looked right at me and straight faced, and he said, I have no idea. He said, I have no idea. I go, why would you? I wasn't a pastor. I was an elder at the church. I served in the church. I was the behind-the-scenes kind of guy. But I'm like, why would you tell the worship leader that maybe he's going to go start a church with me someday? And do you know why he did? Because God had a message for me. God was speaking through that brother to me to encourage me in the call that God had on my life. And these are the things, these are the opportunities that God will use for each and every one of us in this room. If we will take the time to have these conversations, if we would take the time to be open to the Spirit of God. Boy, it was a joy to tell this man that God actually, in fact, did call me to start a ministry. He was blown away. He couldn't believe it either. And so I was blessed hearing the message, but he was blessed knowing that God was using him as well. And so we must be sensitive, guys. God has had a message for me. God may have a message for you, and he may use an amazing opportunity to show that message to you. He might use your children. He might use your parents. He might use your spouse. He might use your neighbor. He might use anybody, and if we would just be willing and listen to what God has to say. In fact, if you keep your place in Hebrews, we'll come back. We'll go over now to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Jesus is speaking here. In parables. Matthew 25, we're going to pick up in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. A very powerful verse, and a verse that many ministries use to serve people, to serve others, because our motivation to serve other people is that we get a chance and an opportunity to serve Jesus in that time. And that's the heart here. So this parable or this story that Jesus is telling, saying, listen, when you do something nice for someone, when you're hospitable to a stranger, when you do something, you're doing it to Christ. You're doing it for him, in his name, and to him. And that is the opportunity that we have. Now, the problem is, we today will put stipulations upon the service that we give. Oh, I will only serve a stranger if I get something in return, or I will only do this if they don't abuse it. Listen, I'm going to free you from a few things. If you're going to do something nice for someone, do it for Jesus and then forget it. Because once you attach some expectations to it, you are going to get discouraged and you will stop being hospitable. No, give to someone on the corner. Certainly it would be great if they didn't go buy drugs or alcohol with it, absolutely. But if you feel motivated by the Spirit to do that, if God tells you to give, if God tells to show, don't start to think about, is it right, is it wrong, will they abuse it? No, if God tells you to do it, just do it. You'll be blessed by it. And God will be blessed by your heart. And I also believe if we have the right heart with it, that there'll be some conviction there for the person that's receiving that gift. But just do it because you're doing it for Christ. When, they asked, when did we see you? When did we do this for you, Lord? No, when you do it to the least. Notice he says the least. Do it for the ones who need it. There are so many people in the surrounding areas of the place we are right now that have great needs. And I believe God wants to meet some of those needs from this body. And we need to be mindful of that. Because what happens, we get so consumed with our own needs and we're waiting for someone to come and meet our needs that we miss the opportunity to be hospitable to someone, to give to someone. And you might think, I don't really have anything to give. I can barely meet my own needs. Listen, probably one of the greatest things you can do for anybody is pray for them. You can pull up to somebody alongside the road and listen. They're human beings. They're in a bad way. Yes, they might have made some bad choices. Yep, they probably did a lot of drugs. They probably stole a lot. Yes, they probably are wicked. But they're human beings. that need the love of Christ. And if we could just roll down the window and say hello to them, it would be something different. I'm just amazed at the people they wave at, and they're, I'm not even going to look at them. People in the car, I'm not even going to look at them. I don't want to, you don't want to be convicted. They're human beings. Roll down the window. What can I be praying for? If you don't have any money, what can I be praying for you for? Be used by God. Make the condition of your heart be right. Theirs is their issue. That's their deal. But be nice to them. Because I believe even God could use someone standing on the corner. He said the least of these. And I believe the least of these are the ones that we're going to ignore. I believe God, Jesus, saying, listen, the people you bypass, the people you ignore, the people that you think you can't help, they're the ones I'm asking you to do it for. Even in Mexico, you know, we go and we help build a house. These are people that are been in difficult situations. They've been put into a ministry. They've gotten on their feet. They've raised some funds. They've bought a piece of property, and now we're helping make their dreams come true. They've had to go through a few things, but what about the ones that just have nothing? I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday. My wife and I were driving by, and there was some guy standing on the road. Very clean cut, very much had his stuff together, but had a sign. And both of our hearts was like, what could we stop and talk to this guy and say, what would it take to get you back in the workplace? What would it take to get you back on your feet? Now, I agree. There's some that want to stay on the streets. They don't want to get back into society. I understand. But what about the one that's just that close from getting back and being a citizen that's at work and getting their needs met, maybe getting their family back together? Those are the things we need to look for, my friends. Those opportunities that are around us. A messenger. Entertain strangers because they might have a message for you. And my question is, are you going to be willing enough to hear the message? Or is the message that they might speak to you, is it being filtered because of your maybe prejudice or maybe your understanding of how these things work? Let God speak to you. And then more importantly, are you maybe being a messenger for someone else? I think we need to be mindful that God might use us to speak into someone's life. What happens? You're sitting in church or you're doing your devotion in the morning or you're praying and God says, I need you to talk to so-and-so when you see him next. And you're thinking, oh, that won't mean anything to them. No. If God tells you, shows you something, then you go speak it. I've had people come up to me and go, I have no idea why I'm going to tell you this, but God's telling me to tell you this. And they'll tell me. And it really is the thing I need to hear. We need to be open to that God would use us. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Not only are we to entertain strangers, but the third thing, the final thing for this message is in verse 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Remember the prisoners. And I don't know what version you have of your Bible, but in the New King James, there's a dash. And that dash could really be changed to the word and. So in other words, remember the prisoners as if chained to them and those who are mistreated. These aren't the same people. These are two different people that the writer of Hebrews is saying, remember these. Remember those in prison. Remember those who are chained. Remember those who are being mistreated. Because remember, in the time of Hebrews being written, a lot of persecution going on, a lot of Christians being thrown in jail because they believed in Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews said, don't forget those people. Be mindful of those people. Remember those people. You know, and this, he isn't saying remember them only. He's not just saying think about them. Make sure you think about those people in prison. Make sure you think about those that are being mistreated. He's saying remember them, but then do something for them. There has an action here. Remember them, not just think about them, do something for them. Remember them in prayer, if you will. Remember them by visiting them, if you will. Remember them by providing for them, if you will. Is there someone in your life that's being mistreated? Is there someone that you know in your neighborhood or you're in your school or in your workplace that's going through a tough time? Remember them. Pray for them. Do something for them. You may not know a physical prisoner, someone in jail or incarcerated, or maybe you do. But here's the truth. There is someone that you know that is a prisoner of sin. There is someone in your life who is consumed by their sinful nature, that is just living. Whether they call themselves a Christian or not, you know someone who is steeped in their sinfulness, someone who is chained to the cares of this world, who's being misdirected and misguided, someone who is imprisoned in their own selfishness, their own self-centeredness. That's what we can also apply this verse to. Not the physical imprisoned, but prisoned from sin. Question is, what are we doing for this person? Are we avoiding them? Well, the Bible says, remember them. Do something for them. See, I believe that these people who are dealing with their sin or struggling with their sin need someone to love on. How many people I've sat down with, good friends as well, whose family members are doing some pretty crazy things, making some very poor choices. And I just say, just love on them. Just love them. Just let them know you're there for them. I don't think necessarily only Christians are just supposed to, you know, say things to convict people and try to get them to change their ways instantly. I think we're just to be there to love on them. So that when that time comes when they say, I've tried it all, I'm giving up, that you're there for them, and they know that you're there for them. Are you doing anything to reach them, to reach out to them? Send them a note, a text, an email. Does anybody send letters anymore? Yeah, a couple people. Yeah. Do those. Send those things. It took me a while to think of this. But I can remember this kid in the seventh grade. Nobody liked this kid. Everybody made fun of this kid. He was different. He dressed differently. He looked differently. His hair was always a mess. His fingernails were always dirty. Nobody wanted to be around. It was like, what is that on Charlie Brown? Pig pen. Yeah. It was like that kid. There was a cloud around him, and everybody made fun of him. And to this day, I can remember that kid because of how I felt, this poor kid. This poor kid got beat up, got mocked, got made fun of. He had no friends. No friends. And I just think of people like that in my life today. It's like, they just need somebody. They just need somebody to care about them. They just need somebody to reach out for them. Again, the least of these. I think this guy qualified. He definitely was a prisoner in his own existence, if you will. I felt so bad for him. Just needed to help him. But no one did. See, this is what people need. They need someone to care about them. And I wonder if that person is you. That you'd be that one. That you don't just go along with the flow and everybody avoids this particular person. No. But notice, if you will. Verse 3 again. Remember the prisoners. You need to underline this. As if chained with them. As if chained with them. What this means is like as if you're in the same situation as they are. As if you're in the same predicament as them. When I see someone who's struggling with sin, when I see someone who's struggling in their walk with God, when I see someone that's in a difficult place, I don't just say, oh, they just need to pray more, they just need to read the Bible more, they just need to surrender, they need to draw close to God, which all of these things they need to do. But I think about, what is it that caused them to get in this situation? How would I respond if I was went through the same thing they did and put myself in that situation? That helps me remember them. Someone in our church, just this past week, something going on with one of their eyes. Something going on. We're praying, Lord, let it not need surgery. Lord, heal, all those types of things. And I think it helps me to remember this person in prayer if I think, how would I be if my eye wasn't perfect? How if my eye had a scratch on it? How if my eye hurt all the time? I try to put myself in that situation. So I'm chained with them so that I'll remember them. I don't know about you, but when something hurts on me or something's going on with me, I'm going to pray for myself. I have a tendency to pray for myself a lot. Do you do this? Not for me, but for yourself, right? So the Bible very wisely says, remember them as if you're going through the very same thing, because you'll pray for yourself. And that's what we need to do. We need to, as if we're chained with it, as if we're going through that situation. Maybe there's someone in your life that you avoid because they drive you crazy. Well, now bring yourself into that and say, I'm going to start praying for them. As if I'm doing the same things they're doing. As if chained to them. As if handcuffed to them. As if you're going through the same thing. Because you'll remember to pray for them if you're in that same place, in that same predicament. When Paul was listing all of the things he endured through Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know those, you know all the things, the beatings and the stripes and the shipwrecks and all that. He ends with kind of this verse. It's chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 28. Besides the other things that he went through, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, Paul's deep concern for the churches wasn't the organization of the church. It was the people in the church. Paul was burdened for the believers that were in those churches. My deep concern for Phil, who's going through a divorce, for Sally, who's losing her home, for anybody else who's losing their job. Those types of things. He was deep concern for them. This is what we need to have, my friends, a deep concern. Another translation says it this way. Apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul was burdened with the needs of others. And I know people that every time I talk to them, they give me a list of things that I need to be praying for them. Every time. Without fail. You need to pray for my marriage. You need to pray for my husband. You need to pray for the things that I'm going through. You need to pray for my job. Pastor, you need to be praying. And I get the list. One time, as I was getting this list from this person, I turned to them, I said, who are you praying for? And you know, they looked at me like I just told them, asked them a question that they have no idea the answer. I'm like, sometimes we get so consumed with the things that are going on in our own lives that we're unwilling to pray for others, that we're unwilling to be chained to them and to talk about them. No, they looked at me with shock, like I never even thought about that. Because I believe when we start praying for other people and we start praying and lifting up people in the body of Christ or people that we know or people that we have a strained relationship with, I think it begins to change us. And it helps our focus be upon others. See, the writer of Hebrews wanted these believers to remember those that were in difficult situations. Because they were probably in those very same situations. Be mindful of what's going on. You know how you find that out? You know how you find out prayer, other people's needs? You have a relationship with them. You sit down and you talk to them. It takes a little bit of an effort to remember someone, what they're going through, because you got to find out what it is. Sure, there's prayer cards in the back, and we get some prayer requests each week, but people don't really want to share what's going on. Well, they feel like, if I share my prayer request, then people are going to think I'm not human. Well, then I know you are human. We need to talk to people and ask people to pray for each other. Paul was wise to remind the church at Rome, in Romans 12:15 should be overhead, says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There's going to be times when you're going to be happy that someone's going through something because they're overjoyed. Something happens good in their life, you're going to be happy for them. But then there's going to be those times when someone's going through a struggle, someone's going through a difficult thing, and you're going to hurt with them. You're going to have that same care and that same concern. Be happy with others when they're happy. Be sad for others when they're sad. Because why? We're in the body. We're in the body of Christ together. Because he says it right there at the end of the verse. Since you yourselves are in the body also. When your knee hurts, that's all you think about, isn't it? It's like, man, my knee hurts. My back hurts. Well, my arms hurt from helping someone move all day. My shoulder's aching. We're just always thinking about it, aren't we? That's kind of the connection we got to have. We're in the body also. When someone hurts, we need to hurt. That's our last stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I suppose it could be said, if you don't care for another one in the body of Christ, then you're not really caring for yourself. Because we're all in the body together. And that's what we see Paul tell us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12 with me. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, look at this. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. He placed you in the body of Christ specifically. Not you, not someone else, not me, but God placed you in this church for a purpose, for a reason. Are you functioning in that purpose? As each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Are you fulfilling your role in the body of Christ? Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lacks it. And there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Here it is. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which speaks of love. Because all of these things must be motivated by love. My friends, you're placed in the body of Christ for a reason. It's not by accident. God placed you there, and he has a role for you to fulfill. Perhaps you're an angel. Perhaps you're going to be a messenger sent by God to speak into someone else's life, to fulfill a specific role in the body of Christ. Here's the absolute truth as we leave this consistent Christian care message. If you are not fulfilling your role in this body cannot function to its fullest capacity to the glory of God. Do you hear me? If you are just sitting back going, I'm comfortable not doing anything, and God has placed you in this body for a purpose and a plan, and you're not fulfilling it, then the body is weak in that area. All right, if you will. If you're not fulfilling your role, then the knee is a little weak. It's not able to do. We're not able to walk as we're supposed to walk. If you're supposed to be a voice, if you're supposed to be a teacher and you're supposed to be ministering to the children or ministering to ladies or men or couples and you're not speaking, then that ministry suffers. But listen, God placed you in the body. Hear me. Don't place yourself in the body. God has to place you in the body because I believe where God places you, he will equip you to fulfill that role. Does that make sense? Wherever he places you, he will equip you to fulfill that role. If you place yourself somewhere in the body, you're not fully equipped to fulfill that role. So that role suffers. We must be spirit-led. We must love on our brethren. We must remember the prisoners. We must entertain, be hospitable to strangers, to serve God. We are all in the body together. And we're only going to get where God wants us to be. We're only going to be where God wants us to be if we're all doing our part. Everybody doing their part. Nobody overworked. It's a pleasure serving God. Question is, are you listening to what he wants you to do? Not necessarily in the church, but even when you leave this place. When you go to lunch today, have a different set of eyes. Look around you. Pay attention. See if there's any needs that God might have you meet or God might have you fulfill or anything he might have you speak. Be used by God. And he'll get the glory. Father, we thank you for your word today. We praise your name. And Lord, I would ask this morning that as your word is very clear and very straightforward, that we would not ignore what it says, that we would not think that, oh, these verses are for someone else, that we would take them personally, that we would apply these things to our lives. That maybe as even during the service you've spoken to our hearts and we've written something down, a message for someone else to encourage them, maybe to correct them. Lord, give us the boldness to share that message. Because we know that you want to speak to us. We know that you have things that you want to show us. So let us be sensitive to your spirit. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body. I pray, God, that because you've placed us here, that you have a plan and a purpose for us to impact this area for the gospel of Christ. Lord, help us against religion and religiosity. Help us against the things that would just weaken us as a church. But God, raise us up to be a strong influence in this place, to set people free from their sin, to set the prisoners free from their bondage. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.